Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways for the first quarter of 2010. As always, I am absolutely delighted that this CD has found its way into your hands and on into your CD player. Unless, of course, you're one of the growing list that goes to the website and downloads Highways and Byways from there. Perhaps you've found us on iTunes. In that case, you may be listening directly from your computer, or you may have put this audio magazine on your MP3 player and you listen to us that way. But no matter how this made its way to you, I am equally pleased to be able to spend some time with you once again. I really got a late start on producing this first quarter Highways and Byways because there was some old business that needed to be completed before I could move forward. I'm talking in particular about the latest End Times Update special, which is now posted and available for download from the website link. For those on the Highways and Byways mailing list, if you request a copy, I'll send it out to you. Otherwise, go ahead and download it from the website. That was a real challenge, a kind of struggle to overcome getting this done. There were lots of obstacles, from time demands in other areas, personal situations, and of course, technical complications. But in the end, it served a greater purpose because out of the fight, we have come up with our theme for this first quarter. Let's identify it simply as the old and the new. And how perfect that turns out to be since we're leaving the old year and plowing ahead into the new year. So what we're going to do is bounce off old and new segments throughout the next 70 minutes or so. I'm going to dig back into the archives and offer up some things from you from previous Highways and Byways from years past, and I have some new things prepared to balance out our old and new theme. So you're still going to hear some great music from our indie artists. There's still going to be some evolution versus creation debate. There's still going to be an opportunity to hear from folks who have called into the voicemail line, and yes, there will still be some comedy segments, as well as a few in-house productions. And we have something new from Storyteller, as he checked in with us before production got underway, with a short story that fits in so well with our theme. I can't wait to get to it. Well, it all adds up to a pretty diverse collection of stuff that pretty much ensures there'll be at least something there somewhere along the way to put a smile on your face, be an encouragement or a blessing to you in some way, or maybe just stir you up to call into the toll-free voicemail line to disagree with me, maybe to ask a question or to share a short word of testimony and encouragement for others. And before we move on to our next segment, there's something else that the voicemail line gets used for. I started this a couple of years ago, and it's time once again to renew your subscription to Highways and Byways if you're on the mailing list. I know you probably think that I should be fully aware of the fact that you still want to receive Highways and Byways as it comes out each quarter, but I have to tell you that due to expenses, we have had to double the price of the subscription. But that won't be too much of a bother for regular listeners because, as you well know, 2 times 0 is still zero. So I'm going to ask you to do this and make the call. Let me know you still want to be on the mailing list for future Highways and Byways. The only exception to this is, of course, our highway ministers. Everybody else needs to make that call. I had to drop some people, some longtime listeners, off the mailing list in times past because they didn't call in to renew. And then I'd get a phone call later in the year asking why they're not receiving Highways and Byways any longer, or if maybe I stopped doing Highways and Byways. So what you could do is, as soon as you're done listening today and you eject the CD, just look on the front, call the 800 number, and let me know that you still want to continue being on the mailing list. If there's an address change, it's a great time to let me know that too. And if you're hearing your first Highways and Byways, this is your opportunity to call in and ask to be added to the mailing list for 2010. That means they'll come directly to your house, no charge, and we're happy to be able to do that as the Lord continues to provide. Now, if you're downloading this, I'd like to hear from you too, so I know that I haven't lost you as a friend along the way. Okay, I think I've covered all the preliminaries here, so as we move between some old things and some new things, let me say one more time how glad I am to be able to spend some time with you as you travel down the highways and byways of this country. Whether you're an old listener or a new one, I pray that you find this audio magazine to be a blessing.
Excuse me, Mr. Jenkins?
Yes, Bob?
This bonus you're asking me to give Larry is totally unfair.
How so?
Well, he worked with Kurt on that sale, and Kurt did 80% of the work. It's not right to give Larry 100% of the bonus.
In life, some things just don't seem fair.
Bob, I've made my decision.
But boss, Kurt worked nights and weekends for months. I've never seen anyone work harder. He deserves at least half the bonus.
Ever notice that what seems unfair at first seems fair with just a little more information?
Giving Larry the entire bonus makes no sense.
Look, Kurt attempted to bribe the customer. If it weren't for Larry's integrity and the customer's trust in his character, we would have had a major lawsuit on our hands.
Oh.
Give the bonus to Larry and tell Kurt he's lucky to have a job. Any more questions?
I'm good.
God has infinitely more information than we do. The next time you're tempted to think God is being unfair, remember, you may need just a little more information to see God's wisdom. Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Pitchfork, and I wouldn't breathe fire cause it might give me away. If I were the devil, you'd never know. I'd befriend you quick and then corrupt you slow, so you don't notice till it's far too late. If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the devil, I'd spend all day lowering standards of what's okay to think, to say, to watch on your TV. And I'd break down the value of promises kept and fade out truth till there's nothing left. So gossip and lies are popping up as thick as weeds. If I were the devil, if I were the devil, well, I might not be as foreign as you think, cause I wouldn't only show my evil side. Well, I've got the time and patience just to wait and steal your soul just once and at a time, like I would if I.
On the fourth quarter Highways and Byways, I ran a question that had been called into the radio program from several years back. It featured Pastor Scott McGann, who at that time worked with me on the radio program, and he took care of the questions that came in with a segment that we called Ask What You Will. I received a number of very positive responses to Brother Scott's approach and delivery. So, as we alternate between new and old segments, what a great time to bring up another Ask What You Will segment and let Scott do what he does so very well. This one is from the radio archives of September 2002. Our question for Ask What You Will this week comes from a lady by the name of Janice, and I believe she's asking a question that a lot of people would like to ask. She says it this way: God feels so far away from me. I'm not sure if I did something wrong or what, but I want to do something about it.
Well, I can identify with the way you feel, Janice. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like God doesn't even exist. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in my own life that I feel like God is nowhere to be found. But let me tell you what I've discovered, Janice. Feelings are the consequence of focus. If you focus on negative things, you start to feel negative. If you focus on positive things, you start to feel positive. The Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you." See, Paul beat all those auto-suggestion gurus by 2,000 years. What you consistently think about determines the way you feel. And in Colossians 3, Paul says, "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things." See, when I set my mind on God and the things that please God, I just sense His presence. But when I get distracted by myself and my personal pleasures, I start to sense His absence. When I wake up feeling like God doesn't even exist, the feeling tells me nothing about God. He still exists. The feeling tells me a lot about my focus. I feel like He doesn't exist because my mind has been ignoring God. And when I feel like God is nowhere to be found, the feeling tells me nothing about God. He is there. The feeling tells me a lot about my heart. I feel like He's nowhere to be found because my heart is so wrapped up in myself and my personal pleasures. And I have this real simple solution. I change my focus. I change what I think about. And the Bible calls that change repentance. Now, Janice, I want to encourage you about that little concern about doing something wrong. See, whenever you sin, you start to feel like God is far away, and you start to feel like God is angry with you. And God gave you a conscience to warn you when you start getting into destructive patterns. It's really important to be sensitive to those warnings. But the Bible is very clear. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, if you've accepted God's free gift of salvation in Christ, then you understand that Jesus paid that death penalty for your sins and that God raised Jesus from the dead so that you could live a new life. This is how God showed His love to you. While you were still His enemy, Janice, Christ died for you. And if God gave His Son to die for you while you were still His enemy, how much more will He seek you and restore you now that you've been adopted into His family? And I'm saying this for two reasons. First, so that you won't sin. But second, if you do sin, you have someone to speak to God in your defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for all our sins. Now, when a fire alarm goes off, we know to call the fire company so that they can come and put the fire out. Now, at that point, it doesn't matter who set the fire, and it doesn't matter why they set it. We just call the fire company, and they come and they put out the fire. And when that fire alarm of negative feelings goes off in our hearts, we know to cry out to God so that He can come and put out that fire in our hearts. See, at that point, it doesn't matter who did what or why. We just cry out to God and He comes and He puts that fire out. Isaiah 55 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." God is so near. Whether we feel like it or not, God is so near. God loves us whether we feel like it or not. We feel because we focus. To change our feelings, we just need to change our focus. So let me share real simply and practically how I maintain a feeling of God's closeness to me. I read the Psalms every day. The Psalms were written by real people with real feelings. And you know, those feelings, they show right through: the disappointment, the frustration, the anger, the fear, the depression, the resentment. It just all shows right through. And I can identify with all of that. But in the end, I discover that God was near. God heard their prayers. God responded to them, and God loved them. And that helps me to remember that God is near. God responds to me. God hears my prayers. God loves me. And you know what I think, Janice? If you read the Psalms every day, you'll remember that God is near, that God hears your prayers, that God responds to you, and that God loves you. So, Janice, I want to encourage you. Focus on God's love for you. Focus on what Jesus did for you.
School violence. It's a matter of who owns us.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the speakers at July's National Apologetics Conference in Branson, Missouri. Well, Ken, sounds interesting today. Who does own us, and what does this have to do with the recent problem of school violence in America and even overseas?
Well, let me put it to you this way. If the God of the Bible is our creator, then that means God owns each one of us. And because he owns us, he has a right to tell us how we should live. We're accountable to our Creator. Therefore, we must obey God's laws. You know, through most of the public education system today, students are being taught that they're a product of chance processes. They're just evolved animals. Now, if we're just animals and there's no Creator, then who owns us? Actually, this would mean we own ourselves. We'd therefore be accountable to no one but ourselves. This would also mean that there are no absolutes and that we have a right to decide how we want to live if we can get away with it. Think about it. When Johnny is taught at school that he's a result of evolution and there's no creator, then when Johnny decides to harm his fellow students, one could say he's learned his lessons all too well. Well, I'm sure most people will be surprised when I say that believing in millions of years for the Earth's age has a connection to school violence. But you know what really does? When someone believes in millions of years, then they've no option but to accept that the fossil record is millions of years old. Now, the fossil record is a record of death, violence, bloodshed, disease, suffering. It's a horrible record. And think about it. When children are taught in school that these fossil deposits all around the Earth are the record of the history of the evolution of life over millions of years, then students are in essence being told that violence, bloodshed, disease, death, and suffering are a normal part of the process of evolution. And if this is so, should we then be surprised if more and more students apply this belief consistently in their lives? If the violence of the fossil record is a necessary part of life on this planet, then why shouldn't people use violence anytime they want? That was one of the motivations behind the school killings in Finland late last year. Our students need to be taught that death and violence are intrusions because of sin.
Well, surely leaders in our church, Ken, those who say they believe God's word, should have the solution to school violence.
Well, that's true, but sadly, the majority of church leaders today don't believe that Genesis is literal history. Now, this topic does relate to violence on campus. You see, if Christians believe that we must accept that the fossil record was laid down over millions of years before man existed, then what does this mean? These church leaders have to accept a record of death, disease, violence, and suffering before Adam, and after Adam was created, God described this as very good. Now, it doesn't make sense. Imagine a church leader talking to a student and saying something like, "Billy, you can't commit violent acts against your fellow students. You need to love people as God loves." And the student replies, "Pastor, do you believe in millions of years?" "Yes," the pastor replies. And Billy continues, "So you believe in millions of years of death, violence, disease, and killing before Adam, and God said that that was very good? Then, Pastor, I'm loving as God loves. Your God is a God of hate and violence. Church leaders will only have the answer if they believe in a literal Genesis, a perfect world before sin.
Ken Ham shares much more about why death and suffering could not have occurred before Adam's sin in his free booklet. It's available on our website of AnswersRadio.com. That's our listener-supported site of AnswersRadio.com.
I'm standing at your door, and I am knocking. But you reach up to remote your old Sylvania. I sit back and act like nothing ever stranger. But I keep knocking, and you keep ignoring me. And I wonder if you're ever gonna answer. When your life, your wife is riddled now with cancer. But I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not here to fix your cable. And I don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon missionary. I'm not here to ask if you're able. Could you help me please? I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. And I'm still waiting patiently. Oh, many times I've knocked on your door. As a child, a wild teenager, a young sailor. But you weren't listening. Time is fleeting. You've lived your life according to your own will. And it's been a life of heartbreak, mistakes, and constant ills. But I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not raffling off tickets. And I don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon missionary. I'm not offering quick fixes or home remedies. I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. Now there's no sense of grief that I cannot forgive. No sinner who cannot look to me and live. I know a brokenness that I cannot heal. I know emptiness that I cannot feel. No, I'm not a traveling salesman. No, I'm not the Kirby man. I'm not here to sell you Avon. And I don't work for Uncle Sam. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon missionary. I'm not here to pray upon your sense of charity. I came because my father sent me. I came because you need me. Behold, I'm standing at your door, and I am not.
Hello, sports fans. Robbie Robenowitz here with the last World Series report. An exciting preview of this season's biggest showdown between the Heavenly Saints and the Demons of Darkness. Down here on the field with us today is that zealous shortstop for the Saints, the Apostle Peter. Pete, you and the Saints seem to be having quite a surge here in the final days of the season. Now, what do you attribute it to?
Well, Robbie, you know, we like to give a lot of the credit to our team trainer, the Holy Spirit. You know, he's given this team the strength and the courage to really come through in the clutch, you know? The demons, they're highly dependent on all kinds of drugs to keep their guys going. Oh, we feel this is very dangerous and wrong. In fact, that's how they've lost many of their key players here in the final days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point, Pete. But tell us a little bit about some of the individual testimonies. Well, Paul of Tarsus, for example. How's he working out?
Oh, just great, Robbie. Just, you know, we got Paul in the trade with the demons for Judas Iscariot, and we're just real thrilled with the way things worked out. We'd originally intended Judas to play second base, as you probably know, but he was always wandering around right field, doing his own thing, you know? Never really a team player. Well, as it turned out, he didn't play long for the Demons either. But Paul, on the other hand, has had a real turnaround year here with the Saints. Like I was saying, he started out the season with the Demons and was quite a slugger, as many of our players can tell you.
Yeah.
But since coming to the Saints, he's shown himself not only to be a man who can swing a bat, but somebody who can field even the toughest questions in life and turn them into real victories.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, how about the coaching staff? How are they holding up this late in the season?
Just great, Robbie. As you know, the Demons rely on fear, intimidation, really, to motivate their players. Of course, we believe in kind of a positive reinforcement thing. Coach Isaiah, Coach Daniel, Coach Zachariah. All the coaching staff are prophesying a mighty victory. In fact, Daniel was saying in the clubhouse yesterday that the victory was already ours. All we had to do was claim it and go out and play the game.
Yeah, and Daniel ought to know. I still remember that great game he played some years back against the Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Shut him out, as I recall.
Yeah, that's quite right.
But Pete, I'd like to ask you about Jesus Christ, undoubtedly the most talented, powerful player in the league. Now, the Demons claim they put him out for the season, but you guys claim he's coming back. What's the scoop?
Well, Robbie, Jesus promised he'd come back in the final days, and we're all expecting him any day now. As you know, we give him all the credit for this team, both as individuals and a group. He's changed our lives. You know, he took us literally from a group of sandlot fishermen and changed us into a bunch of precision miracle workers. Now, obviously, we're anxious about his return.
Then he is coming back.
Well, Robbie, well, he promised, didn't he? That's one thing Jesus is famous for. He always keeps his promises.
Well, okay, Pete. Let's see, our time's just about up, and I'd like to thank you for being with us today, and we'll have a Spiegel gift certificate for you a little later.
Uh-huh.
And, well, best of luck to you and your team in the rest of the season.
Well, thank you very much, Robbie, but on our team, luck has nothing to do with it. Hey, I got batting practice. Praise the Lord. See you later. Bye.
Okay, thanks again, Pete. Now back to you in the booth, Joe.
We have a question from the voicemail line to deal with. Once again, Storyteller has brought some attention to a situation that, frankly, I've never heard anybody else bring up. He asked, well, forget the setup. Let's just listen to the question straight from his lips to yours, because it just doesn't get any better than that.
Hey, in Acts chapter 22, right after Paul is talking about seeing Stephen getting killed, and go, the Lord said to me, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Well, the people listened to Paul until he said this, but then they started shouting at the top of their voices, away with him, kill him, he's not fit to live. Then in verse 23, they were screaming and waving their clothes and throwing dust in the air. Hello, how crazy is that? What are they throwing dirt in the air for?
I said that I've never heard anyone bring any attention to this before, and I've always sort of glazed over it when I read this passage from Acts 22 myself. Because I know the basic reason, and I just never gave any thought to expounding upon it. But let's see what we can do with this one. You know, there's an account from the Old Testament to compare with this New Testament occurrence. From 2 Samuel 16, we have King David in a struggle to retain his throne and kingdom, with Absalom, one of his own sons, fighting against him for the kingdom. David and his warriors are riding along, and a fellow by the name of Shimei begins to throw stones from a parallel ridge. He speaks out curses and throws dust up in the air. He knows that he can do nothing to actually come against King David, but he can throw some dirt in the air. This seems a trivial thing, but it carries a clear message. This was, and remains today, an expression of incredible hatred and anger, mixed with a certain vexation and frustration. Usually because there's nothing greater that they can do to express themselves, and they're frustrated because, if they had their way about it, the people throwing the dirt up in the air would tear the person from limb to limb, if they had the chance. This is exactly the circumstance we see in Acts 22. These folks were so infuriated with Paul because they could not accept the idea that God would tell Paul to take the gospel to the unclean and unworthy Gentiles. The other problem was that the good news Paul was claiming he was sent to proclaim included the fact that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. They're extra frustrated because they know that they can do nothing else at this point because Paul is in the custody of Roman soldiers. So they shout and rent their clothes at his blasphemous claims and, of course, throw dust up in the air. And that's about the long and short of it all in this matter. Or is it? You know, this throwing dirt up in the air does seem like such a primitive exercise. I mean, we Americans would never act in such a barbaric or Neanderthal manner. I'm thinking about slamming doors as we leave out from an argument that has exasperated us. I'm thinking about children stomping their foot on the floor because they don't like the way something has gone and they've absolutely no recourse other than to act out in a violent attack against the floor because it's the only thing they can do. I'm thinking about raising our voices to fever pitch in an argument and saying things that will hurt and cut others. And I'm thinking about laying on the horn for like 15 or 20 seconds straight when somebody cuts somebody else off out on the highway. Kicking the trash can or kicking the dog. Throwing something against the wall in frustration or just letting out a curse word or two or three. You beginning to see what I'm seeing? While we might point out the foolishness of a culture who throws dirt up in the air to express their frustrations and anger, we must appear to be equally immature and foolish when we do so many of the commonly American acts that I've been listing here. Oh, I don't really believe for a moment that they are exclusive to our own American culture, but we sure have a wide variety of ways to express our own anger, hatred, and frustrations, don't we then? We know in the end that such behavior is not going to please our God, and yet we find ourselves allowing others to take us to this level. Now, I'm speaking in general here. I know that not everybody curses. Not everybody throws things when they get angry. I realize that not everybody kicks the dog. I know I don't, because Brick just might feel I've crossed the line if I did that. For our new listeners, Brick is Gail's trusty pit bull. And my advice to everybody is, don't kick a pit bull. But no matter what level of reaction we take, if there is malice in our hearts during that action, we are in sin territory. Even if you simply direct a thought in malice towards that person, if you imagine them to have an accident or worse, everybody crosses this line from time to time, or has, in one way or another, aggressively or more reservedly, we all fall short at times. So how do I get out of this discourse at this point? Where do we go to find some balance between expressing our frustrations and avoiding the malice and curse-type wishes upon others when we don't like the way things have gone and we feel that we have no other recourse? Well, how about this passage from Ephesians 4:26? There we read, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." So let me turn the tables on all of you this time around and let me ask you a question. How do you get rid of the frustrations and anger? Have you found a way to do it and sin not? Well, I'll tell you what. If all else fails, go ahead and throw some dirt up in the air. The sin is not in the throwing. The sin is in the thoughts of your heart at that moment. Jesus was pretty angry when he drove the buyers and sellers out of the temple. And we know that he lived a totally sinless life, so it's possible to be angry and sin not. I like that. Be angry and sin not. And whatever you do, don't kick the dog. I mentioned earlier that I had just posted online the next issue in the ongoing series that I call ETUs, or End Time Updates. The focus was once again a look at the process in the continuing march toward fulfillment of Revelation 13, where we learn about a time when the Antichrist causes all, both great and small, to receive a mark on their hand or forehead in order to be able to buy or sell. And what I want to point out here is that no matter where you stand on the whole timeline of end time events, we can all agree that certain things need to fall into place for a world government to develop and surface. So for those who hold to a belief that says we go through the tribulation, these updates serve to help track current events as we approach that timeline. On the other hand, for those who feel that we get lifted out before any persecution and real troubles begin, these updates serve to help track current events as we approach that timeline. Oh my goodness! Is it possible we could have differing views and yet be able to use the understanding of the present spiritual season that we're living in order to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ instead of arguing the doctrine between ourselves? Yes! I think it's possible. So, regardless of doctrinal differences on the timeline, these end-time updates are meant to stir you up in a most holy faith. This current release is no different in that purpose. However, we did something different with the approach on this one. I attempted to get folks to start thinking about what kind of things they would do if they were the mastermind behind this movement to a one-world system. And we provided some real-time current event examples to fuel the mindset. Well, that's a fair recap of what the End Time Update special was about. And while I'm telling you that you can go download it from the website, I'm also sending out a supply to all of our Highways and Byways sponsors and our highway ministers. I'll ask them to put some out for anyone who finds the topic of interest, but I'm also going to ask them to keep some copies back for any drivers who happen to stop in over the next few months and ask if they have a copy of the latest House of Prayer Ministries End Time Update. And I should explain that one quickly. From now on, the End Time Update special will be released under our primary ministry name and not under the Highways and Byways label. So stop in at the Petro in Girard, Ohio, or the TA in Lodi, or the Pilot in Beaver Dam and ask for a copy. Now, we're still going to continue the short feature End Time Updates as we always try to do in each edition of Highways and Byways. And this time, I wanted to bring some updates in an area that we don't pay enough attention to at times. I'm thinking of some of the millions who are already experiencing persecutions and even death for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's difficult at times for us to imagine it in the relative safety of our own country, but consider the January 6th attack in Cairo, Egypt, where three men in a car sprayed automatic gunfire into a crowd of churchgoers as they left a midnight mass for Coptic Christians. They killed at least seven people in that drive-by shooting. Or consider the January 8th firebomb attacks in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Angry Muslims firebombed three churches following a court decision that allows Christians to translate God as Allah. Now, one would think that perhaps the Muslims would be happy to hear whom they believe to be the only true God, Allah, to be called by this name by everyone. But if a Christian tries it, they want to set you on fire. For me, it's a shame that the Catholic Church in this country chooses to use Allah as the name for the triune God of Christianity, because God is not Allah, and Allah is most certainly not God. Nonetheless, Christians in Malaysia are enduring serious persecution just for being a Christian. Then there are the Christians living in Kirkuk, Iraq. They're being kidnapped and murdered for their faith in Jesus, and many are being forced to leave their homes and flee because the Muslims there cannot stand the fact that they believe differently than them. But we must never forget the fact that Christians are routinely persecuted in China and sent away to prison camps in order to make them change their beliefs. Oftentimes, these people are never heard from again. I have said it before, and I have said it often. There are people being persecuted to the death for their faith in Jesus all over the world. Don't try to tell them that the church will not be persecuted. They are actually praying for us to experience this ourselves because they know the purity that it brings to the real bride of Christ. We are insulated in this country, and I believe that when real persecution hits this country, the result will be twofold. There will be a great revival, and there will be a terrible falling away from the faith by those who have only confessed Jesus for some sense of fire insurance and never truly surrendered to the Lord. We need to pray for several things, my friend. We need to pray for our own hearts, that we will not grow lazy and feeble in our own convictions and proclamations of Christ. We need to pray for those who have become weakened or who have never really become strong in their faith. And we need to take a moment to pray for people we may never meet on this side of the dirt. Our brothers and sisters in the family of God who are persecuted for their unwavering faith and testimony of the reality of this Savior we all desperately need.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy praise, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home.
Some of you stop by the TA in Lodi, Ohio to pick up your copy of Highways and Byways, and maybe you say howdy to Chaplain Marvin or some of the other people who serve at that truck stop location. Others drop on in to Chaplain Terry and the rest of the crew over at the Petro in Girard, Ohio. And you find Highways and Byways at these places because these fine folks sponsor Highways and Byways there by actually duplicating and labeling their own CDs from the master CD that we sent out to them. They do this out of pocket. We're so very appreciative of their commitment to this outreach, and we're glad to play some small part of the ministry that they represent. And now, yet another truck stop in Ohio to stop at if you can't get by Lodi or Girard. It's out on Route 75, there at exit 135. There's a pilot with the Transport for Christ Chapel. That would be Beaver Dam, Ohio. You can look up Chaplain Davey or sometimes Chaplain Ken when he comes back in off the road himself. You know, the state of Ohio has turned out to be an excellent place to find Highways and Byways. And in fact, there's the Ginger Root Restaurant down Strasburg Way, exit 87 off of Route 77. I think that's where 250 and 21 cross. That's where the restaurant is. And if that weren't enough, I need to tell you about something else that's going on in Ohio. The first Saturday of each month, and this has been going on for a long time, something called the Canaan Land Opry takes place. Matter of fact, if you park your truck at the TA there in Lodi and look up the folks at the chapel, you can catch a ride down to a whole bunch of singing and fellowship and food as folks come together for a night of music. The music playing in the background at this very moment is from that Canaan Land Opry. Mostly Southern gospel, to the best of my knowledge. So if you're thinking about rock and roll, this probably isn't the place for you to go. But the good food, good fellowship, and the singing all add up to a nice evening at the Canaan Land Opry, the first Saturday of every month. And it would be there that you can meet up with Storyteller face to face. Hit him up for a Highways and Byways CD while you're there. He's one of our highway ministers, and we've tried to keep him supplied over the years. But he's pretty good at engaging people, telling them about the love of Jesus and giving away these CDs, which is one of the things our highway ministers do. And if that isn't enough, we have one Mr. Jack Snyder out of New Hope, Tennessee, who has found a novel way to get some copies of Highways and Byways made. The way I understand it, he's been able to get not one, but two different churches to copy off 10 CDs a week for him. So he takes them on over to the Charlestown truck stop off of Exit 33 on Route 75. It's a little mom-and-pop truck stop across from the Love's truck stop. But don't go there, because the Highways and Byways are across the street at the Charlestown truck stop. It is just so cool to watch how the Lord has been making things work through His people. No one's charging for these CDs. They just do what we do here. We all give away freely as the Lord has freely given to us. As I said, the folks who are duplicating Highways and Byways are buying their own CDs and labels. They're using their own ink from their own printers. It's not a cheap process, start to finish. Believe me. We have some other folks at some other locations who are willing to jump into this ministry, but getting started is the problem. The biggest expense is the CD duplicator, and while we've had a few of them donated or funds contributed to help purchase more, there's a need for even more duplicators. This brings me to the place that I've never felt comfortable with. Because our policy and practice over the years has been to avoid charging anything or asking for money from folks in order to support this ministry. But I have no problem inviting you to support others who are pouring out of their own resources in order to buy the materials to make more Highways and Byways audio magazines. I encourage you to bless the chapel ministries at places like the Lodi TA and the Petro in Girard, and now Beaver Dam. The CDs are always going to be free, but you might be able to bless them when you stop in. And before I get out of this segment, I want to thank the folks who have been helping us buy more duplicators and related materials, those who have donated units. You know who you are, so does the Lord. Thank you for believing in this effort to be a blessing to drivers from all over the country. And by the way, we've just sent out another duplicator. This one will be for the folks at the Transport for Christ Chapel at Beaver Dam, Ohio. And so I encourage even more of you to get involved in this ministry in this way. Now, you don't have to buy a whole CD duplicator all by yourself. It usually works out that the Lord moves upon several people to contribute a little bit here and there, and the next thing you know, we have the funds to buy another duplicator for somebody else. Or somebody has gone to their church and convinced their church to invest in a truck stop ministry someplace. It's just incredible the way things are working out. This is the way I've always envisioned this would happen. People coming together without somebody hooping and hollering and claiming they're going to go off the air if they don't get their support. And we've just always trusted that the Lord will move upon hearts as He sees fit, and the people will respond as they hear His unction.
I love to read my Bible about the mighty men of old who fought the fight courageous with hearts faithful and bold. I'm glad that they were able, but looking back I see the God was more impressed with their availability. Noah was there when the water started and everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. They were almighty members when the miracle began. God who does the work. Now I have seen some miracles in my life, no doubt. My ship was going under, but the Lord he pulled me out. And I know it's not because of who I am or what I've done, except the day I took my life and gave it to his son. Daniel was there in the lion's den when those cats forgot to chew. Elijah was there when God started cooking up a Baal barbecue. David was there, slinging stones, Goliath hit the dirt. They were almighty members when the miracles begin. It's God who does the work. Everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. They were almighty members when the miracles began. It's God who does the work. Miracles begin. God does the work.
Well, the old and new theme continues right up to the end of things, as we get close to that end for this time around. We're going to go back to the archives from the fourth quarter of 2007 and give another listen to a road sign segment. This one was about rough roads, and I hope it stirs your heart and mind all over again.
Down the road, there's a turn in its place, rest in tune. Remember that the road of God is straight, and He will lead you through.
Have you had your fill of construction for the season? Had enough of those detours where the detour signs just sort of disappear once you've been let off the main road you were on? I hate when that happens. Sometimes it's hard to tell if I might even have wound up on the wrong side of the road somehow. I asked you if you've had enough construction for the season, but really, it almost never ends, does it? Seems to be another rough road around most every bend these days. You know how that old saying goes, something like, there's only two seasons, winter and construction. Fact is, this past winter, I wasn't convinced they ever really stopped. I don't know what kind of loads you carry. Most of you get a variety of things that they stuff into the back of your trailer or throw up on the top of your flatbed. Then it's up to you to make sure it stays in place, to get it where it needs to go. Me? Oh, I carry the same thing all the time. High-pressure cylinders full of volatile industrial welding gases. Yep, I'm one of the nuts you see traveling down the highway with about 300 potential bombs and missiles strapped onto the back of the truck. And I don't know anyone who dislikes a rough road more than me. There are others, no doubt, who carry hazmat materials that are probably as nerve-wracking to deal with, but no one dislikes a rough road any more than me. I'm not sure which I dislike more, come to think of it. The constant washboard bump that throws you all around kind of rough road. The one where you just clench your teeth and hold on to the wheel because there's no other lane open to turn off onto, and you're just wishing for the day when they finally smooth out that road. Or maybe the ones where you hit this dip that there was no real warning for, and you know that about 70% of your load just shifted over to the left side of your trailer. Or in my case, you wonder if a few cylinders are on their way back down from the unexpected launching and will soon become incoming for whoever's behind me. I really don't like rough roads, and I suspect you don't really care for them either. Sometimes the road is rough in other kinds of ways at the same time. How do you like it when that little sign says uneven road ahead and you find yourselves traveling straight ahead on a lopsided incline and the road on the berm where your right tires are riding has all those wonderful little potholes and ripples on it? If you haven't figured it out yet, let me just tell you, I don't like rough roads. Not one bit. If I had my way, they'd level every hill and fill in every valley and make the crooked road straight, and all the rough roads would be just smoothed out real nice-like. Sounds really nice, don't it? No more construction, just a return to the natural course of events the way it was always meant to be. Well, I know it's just a silly thought, a momentary dream to find a way to avoid dealing with the rough roads. We do this in the natural realm, and we also do it in the spiritual realms. Did you know that? Well, sure. Just as much as I don't like rough roads when I'm driving, I don't like the rough roads that this life of mine has to deal with either. And while I don't really know most of you, I bet when a lot of you take a look around this crazy, out-of-control world we're living in, you see an awful lot of rough roads ahead for all of us. Then there's our own personal walk with our Maker. Some think about it more than others. Mostly we think about the Lord when the road of life gets rough and we're dealing with one of those seemingly endless washboard rides that just makes you clench your teeth and hold on because there's nothing else you can do except pray, hold on, and ride it out. Life gets this way for us all at times. Some, it seems, have rougher roads than others, but the truth is, there's no road rougher than the one you're traveling down at the moment you find yourself going down it. Everything else is forgotten for that period of time, and you have to deal with the bumps of life, the potholes, the washboard ripples, and the detours that stop showing signs that you're still on the right road. At times you just wish they'd level every hill, fill in every valley, make the crooked road straight, and all the rough roads in your life would just be smoothed out real nice like, so that your spirit could focus on just knowing God a little better and learning to return some of the love that He's shown to you in your life. But this dream's no fantasy. The day's coming when the Lord will indeed repair all the bumpy roads of life. He'll take away every uneven, crooked detour this life throws at us, and if you're ready when He comes to do this final construction job, you'll find yourself on the right side of the highway when it's all over. Now listen to Luke chapter 3. There's a quote from Isaiah 40 that's spoken out again in Luke, verse 4. This is where John the Baptist is calling for everyone to repent of their sins, turn their face back towards their Creator. In fact, listen to Luke 3, verses 2 through 6. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, the crooked shall be straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." But this passage of Scripture speaks to us both on a physical and a spiritual level, about a time when Jesus will level the hills and fill the valleys of our lives, a time when He will level the road we travel on and straighten out the crooked roads. And don't forget, He will smooth out the bumps. This passage ends with the words, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." This doesn't mean everyone will get to enjoy God's salvation. It just says everyone will see it. You see, some folks are going to be on the wrong side of the road when Jesus returns for them. They're going to see God's salvation for those who are on the right side of the road and then spend the rest of eternity wishing they would have accepted the forgiving power of Jesus to wipe away their sins. They're going to wish they would have invited Him to come live in their heart. Now, it sounds like an unloving God when you think about the fact that some are going to spend eternity in a place called hell. But the Bible says it wasn't originally intended to be a place for humans to go. It was prepared for Satan and the angels that rebelled against God. The problem is, we've all sinned, and that's in direct opposition to God's nature. He simply can't live with sin. The remedy? Well, ask Jesus to save you from yourself, my friend. Get involved with other folks who can help you stay on track with God. Can't find anyone to talk with? Nonsense. I'm just a phone call away. That's what I'm here for. I would be honored to talk with you, pray with you. I'll even send you some special CDs that'll help you get on track and stay on track. The rough roads? You're still going to have your share of them, but the one named Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Turns out it's us who turn our backs on Him, but He's always willing to forgive and forget if you can muster up enough courage to tell Him you've been messing up. Then the day will come when all the roads are smoothed out real nice-like. Smooth as transparent gold, as a matter of fact. Man, I'd sure like to see you there in heaven, my friend. Unless, of course, you've just got your mind set on winding up on the wrong side of the road. The rough road. I really want to encourage you to make sure that doesn't happen. Give me a call. Find a truck stop chaplain. Or just have a talk with God yourself right now, and then call me to let me know that you made that choice. That way I'll recognize you when we're both traveling down that smooth road.
And now, speaking to you on a matter of urgent importance, here is the Police Commissioner of Midland City.
Thank you.
The Commissioner will speak to you directly from his office in City Hall.
Yes. Here from my office in City Hall.
Thank you, Commissioner. For copies of the Commissioner's speech, write to Speech in care of Midland City Hall. This program was recorded.
Hello there, crime-fighting fans. This is Chicken Man. Stay tuned for the exciting story exclusively on ZYQ.
The office of the Police Commissioner of Midland City. The Commissioner has called a press conference.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, today you've been called here to witness with your own eyes the dazzling speed with which the feathered fighter is able to leap into action once he is summoned by this office. All right, Miss Helfinger.
Yes, Commissioner.
Immediately, the Commissioner's attractive secretary picks up a yellow telephone on the Commissioner's mahogany desk.
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not panic at what I'm about to tell you. In exactly 60 seconds, a time bomb planted by my staff in the basement of this building will automatically explode. Yes, a very real and dramatic gesture, perhaps, but only to impress upon you the great dispatch with which the feathered fighter answers my summons. Now, Miss Helfinger.
10:01:30. Mr. Harbour is racing at top speed to this office from his residence 8 blocks from here. 10:01:35. Is now leaping up the front steps of this building.
Keep your eye on my office door, ladies and gentlemen.
10:01:40. He is now lunging down the corridor of this building. 10:01:43. He is quickly rounding the corner and rapidly approaching this office. 10:01:46. Mr. Harbour is reaching for the doorknob of this office.
Hello?
Hello, Wing Warrior. 10:01:50. Mr. Harbour enters the broom closet. Where he dons the costume of the feathered fighter, the wonderful white winged weekend warrior, Midland City's crushing answer to lawlessness and or evil.
Miss Helfinger.
Yes.
Would you quickly see what seems to be taking?
Of course.
Come in, please.
A commissioner?
Yes, what is it, Miss Helfinger?
It's Mr. Harbour's costume.
It didn't come back, Commissioner.
It only had to be pressed.
When did you send it?
Last Thursday.
Well, it shouldn't take that long for pressing, should it?
I know.
Watch it, Miss Helfinger.
Thank you, Feathered Fighter. Should I call them, sir?
I would, certainly. That seems to me to be very bad service. You know what I mean?
Well,
Does this mean the feathered fighter's costume has been lost at the cleaners? And if so, will Midland City ever use them again? Be listening tomorrow for another exciting episode in the life of the most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
We once again approach that time when we must begin to close the lid on this volume of Church Out of the Box. But there's enough time to talk with you for a few minutes and put a friendly challenge out to folks who have been regular listeners, some for years now, and an invitation to newcomers. It has to do with your interaction with Highways and Byways. This project has always been about the Lord and you, the modern range riders, the new millennium cowboys and cowgirls, drivers, travelers, folks who simply don't get the chance to interact or participate on a regular basis with a home church. For those of us on the road, we have the dedicated chaplains who give of their time with a servant's heart at truck stop chapels whenever a driver is able to get by for a visit. God bless all truck stop chaplains. But by and large, many are on a new geographical adventure with almost every load, and getting by familiar places at a regular interval is not in the cards, as they say. That leaves us with the church at large, our brothers and sisters out here on the highways and byways of this country. And that brings us back to this CD audio magazine. The goal has always been to become somewhat of a constant in an ever-changing world of drivers and other travelers. An outreach project driven by you, the driver. Your calls into the voicemail line and the emails that you send in have priority in shaping the very direction of Highways and Byways. And this year, we're going to be looking for an increase of participation from old friends and an infusion of new folks. I'll be looking for not just Bible questions, although we love getting them. But there's a chance I haven't clearly opened the door in the past for you to call in with suggestions for topical studies that could be done in a series format, or requests for full-blown specials on subjects that you would enjoy diving into. You know, phase two of the website rebuild is underway, and among other things, it's going to include a way for folks to communicate and comment, interact a little more with me and others. Maybe we'll link up with the Facebook community. And something else is in the works. This is just a little secret between you and me. We're developing a short video cast that we plan to produce weekly. The overall theme is still being kicked around. Maybe it just turns out to look like Highways and Byways in a condensed video format. I welcome your sincere prayers as this is being birthed. Back to folks calling into the voicemail line. I think a lot of folks hesitate to call in because they're concerned about how they're going to sound, about their misspeaks and blunders while trying to get their thoughts out in a short period of time. But all one need do is go back over the years and recognize that nobody has ever sounded bad, at least not after editing. As long as the phone connection was decent and the background noise was low, I've always been able to edit things out, and you probably wind up sounding better than you normally do by the time I'm done. The real point of all of this is to take another run at letting you all know that this project has always been about the Lord and you, as I just said. So the challenge and invitation for this new year is to have a whole lot more interaction from folks who pick up Highways and Byways, have it mailed to their home, or just listen online. Okay, have I beat that one into the ground well enough? I guess I'll know by the number of calls that come in with Bible or spiritual kinds of questions, short words of encouragement or brief testimonies. some of those topical suggestions for a teaching series. And who knows, maybe you start thinking out of the box yourself and come up with something to add to a future Highways and Byways that this old pea brain hasn't come up with yet. Now, the email address, the web address are on the front of the CD, and so is the toll-free number to call into that voicemail line. Heck, if you can't think of anything else to call in for, you can always call in and speak out a blessing to this ministry or to other drivers. You're the driver, driver. I just try to keep things going in the direction that becomes the greatest possible blessing for the greatest possible number of folks. Now with that, I think it's time to sign off for this first Highways and Byways of 2010. May God smile upon all that you set your heart and hands to do, and especially those things that you do for others.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for a 777 Pearly Gates.
This is 777 Pearly Gates.
Oh, great. Is there a door or driver or something I can get in?
Wait, what's your name?
Suppose you want to check, see if I got a reservation, huh?
Something like that.
No problem. The name's Grover. Claude Grover.
Let's see. Gibson, Grant, Green, Gunderson. I'm sorry. No Grover.
What do you mean, no Grover? There must be some kind of mistake.
No mistake. Your name's not in the book.
After all the things I done for you?
I know what you've done.
Oh, yeah, I know you're supposed to know, but what about the time I donated $20 to that telethon, huh? I saved the receipt. Tax deductible, you know. And what about when I was cheap with my kids' Trailblazers Club and they wanted the little color boy to join, huh? I didn't complain. I even gave him his own little tent on campouts.
I'm sorry, Claude. That doesn't make it.
Oh, I get it. Probably want something religious, huh? Well, okay, let's be honest for a minute here. I admit, I missed my share of Sundays, but so what? I mean, everybody misses them. Hey, you gotta admit, I went every Easter and a couple of Christmases, too. And remember that time a few years back when my wife was nagging me? I went two Sundays in a row, two in a row! Even missed a Rams game. Heard it, though. Had a little earplug in my transistor. You know, I didn't think anyone could hear those things, but after the sermon, the preacher wanted to know who won the game. He was quite a fan.
Well, Claude, there still isn't a place for you.
Well, what you want me to do anyways, huh? Hey, you want me going door-to-door with Bibles? You want me to put an I Found It bumper sticker on the Pinto?
You didn't have to do anything. I did all the work for you. If only you would have accepted it.
You act like I'm some kind of a bad guy or something. Look, like I never killed anybody. I didn't rob no banks. Listen, fella, I can see you keeping those guys out. But this is me, Claude Grover. You know, the life of the party. Lamp Shades Grover, good old law-abiding American citizen. Now, I never did nothing, really wrong.
Claude, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Oh, yeah? Well, if all of us have sinned, then none of us have a chance. That's not fair. You're supposed to be fair. How do you fix that?
I died for you, so that by my grace you could redeem yourself.
What do you mean you died for? Who are you anyway?
You don't even know me. I'm Jesus Christ.
Oh, come on. Who are you really? Where's St. Peter anyway?
I've told you. Now go.
Now, hang on. Look, is there a back door or something? I could wash dishes. I love to wash dishes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Maybe there's somebody else I could talk to. The manager or the owner. Let me speak to the owner.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Well, hardy, hardy, hardy. How many times I heard a line like that before?
It doesn't matter how many times you heard it. It only matters if you believe it.
Well, that's just great. Well, where do I go now? I got all this time off from work. I got my camera, a film, and flashbulbs. You know how I always forget the flashbulbs.
Mr. Grover,
Yes?
We have a place for you over here.
Well, all right. That's what I call service. Voice I recognize anyway. Geez, this meter's getting hot in here.